Ministry of Education for 2 years.
To order the Police Judicial and Legal Committee meeting Monday, February 6th. We're getting started about 4 minutes late, not too bad. Next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the January 3rd meeting. Do I have a motion to approve?
Move for approval, Madam Chairman.
Second.
We have a motion to approve and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
And oh, I would like to also say I'm chairing this meeting on behalf of the mayor who is out ill, so I will, he asked me to chair this meeting on his behalf. Item number 3 on the agenda is public comments. If you are here for public comment, please come forward. You have 2.5 minutes. Please state your name and address for the record. And when the timer's off, your time is up. Do we have anyone coming to speak? Yes.
Hello, my name is Eva Suarez. I reside at 898 Ashley Avenue, and I'm here on behalf of Post House.
Could you speak up, please, or turn the mic on, one of the two?
Hello. I'm just here to share our position. I'm speaking on behalf of Post House that we feel 60 decibels is an appropriate level for the noise ordinance to be based off of, and we would also like to request that it's measured over a sustained period of time up to 7 minutes to allow our operations team a moment to address the issue in the moment before law enforcement needs to get involved. And that's all I have.
All right. Thank you.
I have a question first. Can I defer my 2.5 minutes to Mike Tinkey? We're on the same subject.
No, I'm so sorry. It's 2.5 minutes per individual.
Okay. My name is Lewis Horton. I live at 138 Live Oak Drive, Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, where I have lived for the past 36 years before Shem Creek was an issue noise-wise. I'll just say this, that Mike and I have met with Mr. Bowles. We've met with the gentleman that runs the shelter. We have come to an understanding, and they have appreciated our experiences that we've had, and they have implemented, Mr. Bowles in particular, has been a Golden Creek member. He has done everything possible with his venue. Turned his speakers in. He's put modifications on his bass levels, which we would hear at night, even if you couldn't hear the music. And I think he has been a model member of the restaurant community, and that what he's agreeable to we are agreeable to. So we're on common ground with what we'd like to see happen with the decibel levels and the mannerism that enforcement would be brought to bear. So it would seem to me that if the community surrounding that has these problems it is in agreement with the creek owners, that the council hopefully would accept that and not try to go out any further on a limb. I say to a lot of people, Myrtle Beach is the redneck Riviera of South Carolina. They should not have a better standard than Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Thank you very much.
Mike Tinkey, 208 Benning Street. Thank you very much. You have a copy of the minutes from the meeting on Shem Creek with property owners, as well as Perry Graves and Wade Bowles and the manager of I concur exactly with what he said, so you can see it in the minutes. So we've met with the property owners there. We've met with the Post House. I've met yesterday with my wife, with the gala. And so my comments will reflect that, as well as my recommendations. We're very close, so I hope you'll work with us on that to make that happen. I would incorporate the base level. I understand that's already been done by the chief. I would put in a sustained level, whatever minutes that is, or the discretion of the police department, which the police chief thought was a good way to do it. They would have discretion on the time, but it just shouldn't be instantaneous on a burst of noise. Where commercial and residential properties adjoin, the lower decimal level and base would govern. We should be a best practice around the country for 60 and 65 on commercial 55 and 50. On residential, 9 o'clock is the time that works well now. I'd continue with that. First paragraph, first page, that should say shall versus should be insured of an environment free of excessive noise. I would encourage other people to do exactly what the post house has done, what Wade's done, what Perry's done, and put in noise buffering things, because if you're close, you just have to do more things. But they've done them, and they've done them quite effectively. Make sure there's time limits for lawn care. That was left out, you know, the 7 to 9 or 7 to 6. Same thing for construction. Violations, there should be an escalating level on violations, and it shouldn't just be a day after day. It should be if it's continuous on the same day. It stops one day at 1 hour, then 2 hours later they stop again. And including an inclusion for administrative stop work order. Reconcile all the codes so that they all fit with whatever the new noise ordinance are. And finally, please listen to the people that are meeting with the folks where the few areas are that are of issue. We've addressed all of them except one, I believe, and that's Hobcall. Because we've been meeting with all the people. I provided you minutes from each of the meetings, so I encourage you to do that and before you put something forward to town council. And I think you've got everything you need. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Is there anyone else for public comment? All right, public comment is now closed. Item number 4, police matters, employee service, years of service recognition.
Madam Chair, the officer is at the academy today, and next.
Okay, all right, thank you. So item 4A is complete. Moving on to item 5A, employee years of service recognition.
Good afternoon, committee members. It is my honor this afternoon to recognize Nancy Toussaint for 20 years of service with the town. Nancy started her career with the court office as a part-time data entry clerk. She left for a short period of time until she had a full-time position that became available in 2003. Nancy has experience in various areas with the department, but it was about 15 years ago when Nancy found the work she enjoys the most, and that is the role of accounting balancing clerk. Nancy's responsibilities include evaluating and reviewing all court transactions. This includes the court docket, as well as all financial business that takes place at the court transaction window throughout the day. Even though the number of cases has grown over the years, as it has, Nancy's strong organizational skills and attention to detail ensure the daily work is completed with precision and accuracy. Nancy not only balances the day's work, but she begins the course of action for many cases and also determines the correct allocation of funds due to the state. Both of these functions are vital to the success of our court. Nancy, I want to express my appreciation for all the work that you do every single day. And on behalf of the town, I want to congratulate you for 20 years of service.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
everyone.
Thank you. You're awesome.
Okay. Thank you so much.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to item B, discussion and possible action regarding filling vacancies for municipal judge and the chief judge position.
Okay, I'm back. Okay, so as you are all aware, Judge Michelle just resigned after 18 and a half years of service with the town. He will be missed. He had many roles here, mentor, and we need to fill that vacancy. My understanding is that the advertisement is already out, and we are going to have a special PJL meeting, if I'm not mistaken, beginning of March to review those candidates. In addition, he also had the position of chief judge. So now there has to be discussion on who will fill that vacancy. Now we have two judges who were sworn in July of 2006, Judge Tanya Staubs as well as Judge Tom Hesse. And Judge Tom Hesse, even though all judges are willing, available to fill the position, Judge Tom Hesse has stepped forward and would like to take the lead. So I offer that to you for your consideration.
Okay. All right, thank you so much. Do we have any thoughts from the committee or recommendations or motion?
Madam Chairman, I think we have a special meeting set up on March 7th, and I would recommend we hold any further discussion and or votes until after we interview those individuals who come before us for the interview, and at that time discuss the potential for the chief judge position.
I see. Okay. You concur. Okay. All right. So I think that that's going to be, is that something that we need to fill sooner rather than later with an existing judge, or is that something that can wait?
So my understanding was that it was going to be done first, given the seniority of the judges that we currently have, because the chief judge role is of such importance that court staff rely on that individual. I'm not saying it can't wait. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd have to, you know, look to Eric on that. Yeah, but
because I'm comfortable moving forward today, if one of our longstanding judges, you know, has, and it's not a competition, right?
Judge Stiles has not come forth
and said
not at all. I've spoken with all of our judges, and yes,
if Judge Hassie's agreeable, who would like to do it, he's been serving since 2006. He's been serving the town well. I'm comfortable moving forward today with choosing him as our chief judge, just so that we have that security of that position in place, and then we'll be filling an open position that will not be the chief judge, that will just be more like a junior judge that is coming in, and it's an open position. Is that, as the chair, am I allowed to make a motion, or do I have a motion?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, great.
So I'll make a motion to appoint Judge Hesse as our chief judge.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. So Judge Hesse is our new chief judge for the town of Mount Pleasant. Congratulations to him. And we will be having our special PJL meeting coming up to fill the open position left by Judge Michelle.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right. Moving on to item 6, legal matters, continued discussion and possible action regarding the noise ordinance. I believe that the timeline on this was that this is the last opportunity for our committee to sort of look at the noise ordinance and then make a recommendation or not, either way, to full council on how that should be revised and implemented. So do you have a presentation at all for us, Mr. Pagliarini?
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Okay. Whitley, thank you. As per council vote, the matter will go to council. Just a refresher, we've had first reading. It would go for second reading. Of course, council can reset, ask for more work to be done, if that is the wish, but it will be on the agenda for final reading. We do have, James has graciously once again adjusted our presentation, and we have the general basic ordinance that you're all familiar with. Over the last few months, this committee has worked, and thanks to Mr. Tinkey and his group for providing suggestions and other citizens, and for this committee, we've essentially provided three areas that this committee has addressed. And certainly this is not a limitation. Any changes are certainly up for discussion. We've identified three basic areas that we think that this committee has addressed. The first of those, and if you'll go to the, I believe it's slide 25. So the first of those is the issue as to whether to delineate commercial versus our residential districts. And what you have in front of you on the screen is a provision that would do just that. So the measurements would be, and understand that the decibel levels in this are just placeholders, because that's the second issue we'd be looking for guidance on. But this delineates residential districts as defined in our zoning code, which are all of our residential districts, and daytime hours, evening hours, and then other districts, which are generally commercial and the like, would be subject to a different standard. And of course, the times are relevant for discussion, whether you wish for this delineation. And can you show me the language? Okay, here we go.
when a noise source can be identified and its sound is measured in a residential and non-residential use, it goes to the lower of the two. So, for example, for those residents near commercial, the commercial businesses are going to have to consider that they are near a residential area and meet those residential requirements. So this is the first issue. If you'd like me to go through the whole thing, or you'd like to take this piece by piece?
I think we should take this piece by piece. Is that what the committee is comfortable with? So the only concern that I have about residential and non-residential is there is residential adjacent to non-residential. So if we are imposing a 55 decibel limit on a residential that is literally next door or across the street from the post house, then that is effectively requiring the post house to be down to a 55 level of decibelage rather than the 65 that that as a business it might be necessary for it to operate. So that is my primary concern. I also think item number three, as was raised by public comment, taking the reading over maybe 7 minutes is too long, but maybe like 2 or 3 minutes rather than just a single spike being a violation. But I also think the officers having the discretion to be able to say if there's a single spike above the decibelage, to be able to go to the business in question and say, hey, you know what, you're spiking a little bit high here, periodically you need to turn it down a little bit, is something that I think could be and then the timing as well. I think the problem with making it something like 9 o'clock is then we have to create special exceptions for special events that are going to run later than that rather than having like a uniform time frame. So I still see there being a lot of, for me anyway, a lot of issues with this. I think, you know, would they say when you buy a house, it's location, location, location. And so if you choose to purchase adjacent to a commercial zone or, you know, or in a neighborhood commercial district, I think there is going to have to be some level in order for the businesses to operate that you are accepting when you choose to purchase in those areas. So I don't know how, I still am not sure, you know, what the right answer is on that. But those are the concerns that I have just in this section. Anybody else in the committee?
Well, one thing that I feel that especially with the proximity of residential and commercial is to have a time that is for both areas. As an example, we're saying daytime hours in the commercial area till 10:30 p.m. Or residential areas to 10:30 p.m. Is that reasonable for the residential area? I know that's after my bedtime, and I think that is a little excessive for the residential area. But by the same token, if you live next door to a commercial area and the time is 10:30, 10:30 for that residential area is late, but for a commercial area, things are just getting started. So maybe we need to look at a compromise to help, and maybe that compromise is 10 o'clock for both. I don't know. But I think we're still, by virtue of the fact that we just got this minutes of this meeting, of the meeting between the neighborhood and the commercial entities, I think we need to take this into account and see what else we need to do. And apparently there are some things that need to be changed. So I'm not ready to vote today.
So, but I think that based on council's vote 2 months ago, this is coming to full council for second reading next week. Is that correct?
It is correct, and it will be on the agenda per the council vote. Of course, council can agree to defer it off just as they did before. So there's no requirement that it be voted on. But for the vote, it's going to be on the agenda.
I just feel like we've been spinning our wheels on this for, how long has it been? Over
It's been a year.
It's been a year, yes.
Over a year.
For over a year. Yeah. And I feel like we are not any closer to coming to something that will be palatable to all of council, palatable to the business community and palatable to, I mean, I know we have these minutes, but this is not everyone, and I don't know if the businesses truly understand that if they are literally adjacent to residential, that they are going to be restricted to the much lower decibelage rate of 55 and 50. And I don't know if that would be acceptable to those businesses that's what they're going to be, even though they're commercial, they're going to be forced under the residential because they're adjacent to residential.
If you remember going back a year, that was really the original thought of the committee, was not to delineate. Of course, the reason we bring this up today is that it's been a point of discussion and for guidance for us as to how to prepare proposed amendments. Of course, council can do whatever council wishes despite the recommendations, but if there is to be a delineation, if we believe this is the best way to do it, other than there were some ideas before about particular, and this does take into account zoning. The problem is you have so many mixes, and there is even residential use within our commercial district. So how do we treat that? It becomes an exercise in reasonableness, and you know, we've been trying to toe that line for the better part of this process.
Yeah, I mean, I'm almost to the point, for me personally, where I think our old ordinance that gives pure discretion to our police officers, given the tiny, tiny number of calls that come in to the police department about this, that we are almost more, like, our community is almost better off with the original ordinance, leaving it within discretion of the police officers, rather than trying to parse this, it's just so complicated, and I don't know that anyone is going to be satisfied with this with the decibel meters. And are citizens just going to be buying decibel readers and, you know, taking recordings and videoing it with their phone and calling the police and sending them the videos? And, you know, just it's going to be, I don't know. Councilman Ritchie, do you have
that? Well, I have a question for Chief Arnold, sort of, if you don't mind me asking you. With the provision here where the difference between the residential and the business districts, Chief, what kind of challenges do you think your officers will have? If they get a call, how are they going to distinguish? And again, we got great people. I'm just curious your thoughts.
So that becomes kind of a technology thing. They'd have to rely on GIS and mapping to say, okay, I'm at this location, and then going into the computer system and figuring out which it is. So that would be the challenge. It can be done. It would require that all the officers have laptops in their car, which most of them do during patrol, and then also making sure that map is as current. And it for these locations, it would be current, but that is a challenge.
And residential in a commercial zone, which we have in, like, Ion, how does that work?
and that just illustrates how in depth, I mean, we could create a series of rules, you know, 50 pages as to that, notwithstanding the issues that the chief just mentioned. What we found in every way we've drafted this over the last year is, and Chief Arnold says it best, when they're out on the scene, in any situation, there is a level of discretion that we entrust our law enforcement to. And from the start, that's why we have certain objective measures in here, and we have certain subjective. That's why it's written with that balance. Nothing, in our opinion, whatever we write as lawyers, are we going to be able to require or force the hand of our PD to follow such strict requirements when, at the scene, they're dealing mainly with reasonableness. Please turn the noise down. And most of the time, our citizens cooperate. Sometimes they don't. And that's really where we want to arm them with some objective standards that they can come back and prosecute effectively. So that's the reasoning behind it. But obviously, ma'am, as you've seen in all the various jurisdictions that we forwarded, there are many that split residential and make that delineation. How they go about enforcing it every day is probably a mystery to them as well as it is to us.
Mr. Chapman, do you have any further thoughts on this particular section?
No, but my original ideas were that the police department needed a specific number to work from. I'm not so sure that's the case. After being out with Sergeant on duty in the evening, looking at what he had to do. As an example, just vehicle noise on the street adjacent to a business in a commercial area could be above the number that we're saying and seeing. So I'm kind of going 180 degrees with this because these specifics that I'm looking at right now seem to create a problem for the police officers going and doing their job with an ordinance that may be a little too specific. So that's kind of where I am. And I think the fact that the neighbors and the commercial businesses have worked together to, it almost seems like, ameliorate this problem on their own, which is great, tells us that the subjectivity that I was concerned about may be better than having all of these rules and regulations that may not be easy to totally enforce.
And I think that what you said is exactly correct, that and exactly positive, that the community has come together, that this was an issue. The community has come together and the businesses and the citizens have worked together and created a solution outside of government almost, that is something that is palatable to the people who have been party to these meetings. So, for me personally, I'm comfortable with this moving to council without a recommendation from our committee, unless there's anyone on this committee who would like to make a recommendation.
Not necessarily a recommendation, just an observation. Not a lot of work was put in this from our folks in the community and our business partners out there. And, you know, being prior law enforcement chief, having something measurable does help the officer out there. They'll still have discretion, no question. It's like we have speed limits for a reason, but there's still that discretion when we make the stop or make the charge. And again, I applaud them for working together, and it looks like they've come up with a way to coexist. But is that coexisting happening because there is going to be a number in place that could hold them accountable, where if we didn't have it, we might be right back to where we were because there was nothing measurable? Just an observation for me.
And then the second issue that we'd asked, the first, of course, is the delineation of commercial residential. The second gets to the numbers. So, for example, if the recommendation were to be we want to delineate, then the question is, what are the respective decibel numbers? If there's either no recommendation or a no recommendation, then the question becomes, what are the decibel levels overall for the entire town, as well as the time, as Mr. Chapman mentioned. So that would be part two. And then part three, just for a little bit ahead, there's some good language presented to us. I know there was some discussion at council about lawn equipment and the like, and we've written some language in there with the help of our citizens that would address that issue. So those are the three things that we see primarily outstanding.
Well, does anyone have a thought from the committee, have a thought or recommendation or a motion to make on issue number one of whether we should delineate or whether we should not? Because that's the first issue, right?
Yes,
we should delineate. I mean, I think the delineation just complicates things almost unbearably and makes it confusing with, especially with residential in commercial districts, residential adjacent to commercial districts. I don't think delineation makes sense. That's just me. I don't know if others have thoughts on that.
I think delineation can pose an issue. There's no question. Just talking to Chief, where, you know, we're going to have GIS mapping to make sure we know where we are. The officer knows, are they dealing with commercial, non-commercial, residential? Again, great discretion that our officers have, but I don't want to set them up for failure either by them having to rely on GIS, look it up. Is it right? Is it wrong? Is there a new business in town that hasn't been added yet? Because it can take some time sometimes, especially I know we deal with consolidated dispatch. Once our folks put some in GIS, making sure the county gets it inputted, so that there can be a lag time. I'm not opposed to seeing some type of decibel limit or decibel limits for the town as a whole. If we're going to go forward with the decibel limits, which again, I think from an enforcement standpoint is something that's helpful to the police department. So again, I know the work they put in, I know why they did what they did. They're trying to give a residential a little quieter versus business, but maybe there's a happy medium here somewhere where it can benefit the entire town.
Okay. Do we need a formal recommendation or
no, ma'am, if there's no motion to support a delineation, then no recommendation is fine. Or if it's a negative recommendation, then a motion would be warranted.
I think I don't think there's any motions. Okay, and then the next.
Yes, ma'am. We were asked by the mayor several months ago to compile some ordinances from other municipalities. And what we've done, the decision here is if we're not going to go the delineation, then what are the minimum and maximum decibel levels? And again, to Mr. Chapman's point, what are the corresponding daytime and nighttime hours? This is simply a compilation of what we found nearby, other cities, other towns, where their max and minimum decibel levels are. So this is just a guidance to say that it is more uniform that we would have thought initially, but these are what other folks are doing.
It's actually pretty high on the maximums, like 80 decibels,
yeah.
Much higher than you were looking at. I mean, I think Councilman Ritchie, I think your thought on having a decibelage just as like a thing to go by, coupled with the discretion, maybe wouldn't be a bad idea. But that number, maybe 65 day, 55 night. I don't know. I've been out with an officer, Mr. Chapman, and we've listened to everything. And like Mr. Chapman said, even just road noise, like a car driving by, sure. is 60 decibels. A car with a normal muffler in 60 decibels. So I think having it be 60 as the max is really low. And as you look at our comparable communities other than the city of Columbia, which only applies to residential areas. So I think 65 is potentially a reasonable number for max. Yeah. And then 55 for evening hours overnight. And I like Councilman Chapman's 10 PM compromise, somewhere in between for bedtime.
And again, I have to go from 65. I mean, in the daytime, especially commercial areas, again, because that number
comes up pretty quick. The closer you are to any kind of a road, or just traffic coming out of a parking area for a business. So, helping the police, as Councilman Ritchie said, giving them an objective number to work with, but also discretion to say, you know,
that's just a car going
it's
by.
Just a car going by or something like that. So.
And also make a point about the car going by. When something, again, it does make noise. I live near the airport, obviously, Scoob Airport. You hear the noise, but it's not sustained. Mm-hmm. What I want us to really pay attention to is that sustained
right.
issue. The restaurant or the bar that's had this music going for half an hour, boom, 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 that's driving everybody crazy, that we can address versus that car or my Harley that goes by that Mr. Chapman didn't care for, probably 80 decibels, but it's brief. It goes by and it's gone. So that's what I'm really looking at, too, is how can we help minimize the sustained nuisance that this, these sales are causing, but still be fair to us, our businesses and our parties, but our homes, for our birthday parties, our kids, it keeps coming up. We don't want to penalize them either.
I have a neighbor who gets really loud during football games. I can hear him down the street.
There you go. And,
Madam Chairman, another issue that this citizens and the commercial area worked on was the base. And I wouldn't mind having something in here about, in our ordinance, about having protection, if you will, for base levels, as because that seems to be one of these significant issues with noise, the base. And certainly Saltwater Cowboys appears to have done everything they should have done within protecting that bass sound.
Is there a decibel meter that can read bass?
Yes, we purchased a new decibel meter that can read both.
Okay.
So we're
getting out the new meter back to the bass. Okay. All right. Yeah, I think that's great, because I think if that's something that can be, that something could be very uncomfortable. So, okay, so if we've got something to add about bass, 65 max day, 55 max night, 10 p.m. I mean, this is, I'm just writing down kind of what we've been talking about. And then the last section would be the lawn care. Is that?
Yes, ma'am. This the provision that you see in front of you, lawn care equipment, and again, you can change the hours or maintain a consistency of hours with the general rule. Consistency, in our opinion, is best, obviously. And the addition is that operation in accordance with manufacturer specifications and noise reducing equipment in proper condition, meaning, you know, that we don't want someone out there with a 20-year-old weed whacker that is noise polluting. Because it's not in appropriate condition. But this is the language that was presented to us by our citizens group and something that they thought would be helpful to it for your consideration.
I don't want a leaf blower going at 10 p.m. at night in the neighborhood. I don't think that 10:30 p.m. makes any... I think business hours as opposed to daytime hours,
sure.
Right? Could that be something that we do for lawn equipment and garage machinery, maybe 6 p.m.?
Right, because these are exemptions. Understand that we have certain what we call life exemptions. We know that this equipment is going to trip the meter, but these are things that are commonly done.
Right.
And so I think it is appropriate that if there are special circumstances for these exemptions, they can clearly be laid out in the ordinance.
Yeah, I think 8 a.m.
10:30 is a bit much.
Yeah, I think 10:30 is a bit much too. I think 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. or something like that would be better. Would allow them to operate their businesses, but not be operating a leaf blower outside.
Another question I have for Mr. Pagolini and my colleagues up here: how does that? Is that just to commercial lawn care, or is that the person that gets off at work 6 o'clock, 6:15? I'm out there cutting my grass because that's what time I can cut the grass. Is it for both?
Right. It would be for everyone. We're not making a distinction.
I have an issue with that. You know, obviously, for that person to do their own lawn care. You know, if we may have to push it to, you were saying six,
maybe 7:30.
It's 7:30. Yeah, or something like that. Because I don't anticipate our police department having to go deal with somebody cutting their grass, you know. I think we all have that neighbor who waits till Sunday afternoon when you're watching football, and then they're going to start cutting the grass. It happens. So we'll always have to deal with that, and that's back to that discretion again. But again, I agree with you, ma'am. 10:30, I don't think anybody needs to be out weed whacking, cutting grass at 10:30. If they do, there might be other issues the chief needs to deal with. It's just the long hair.
All right. Is that kind of the final?
Yes, ma'am. I mean, whatever the recommendations, how it would work is it'll come up on the agenda, of course, and council will have the opportunity. We'll have this, if that is, we'll modify this per the discussion today. And of course, if there are any other issues that are out there, and again, council can decide to approve with amendments, deny, or send it back for further consideration on specific issues.
Yeah. I think there was like one in the citizens committee meeting, there was like just like a clerical error that was mentioned in there. So I don't know if you have a copy of this from.
Yes, ma'am. I have.
Yeah. So if that clerical error is still present, right, that could be fixed. Just something clerical. But from our discussion, what I've gotten out of our discussion is a 65 max day, 55 max night. Night ends at 10 p.m. An addition of something to cover the base. And then an 8 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. for lawn equipment and garage machinery. Is that, and do we want to make that in the form of a motion, or is that something, does that need to be a motion or to be brought forth to council? Is that kind of our proposed amendments?
It would be preferable if that recommendation were made, and then that could be represented to council as a recommendation.
Right. Do we have any motion from the committee comfortable with that?
I'll move that we recommend to council the changes that you delineated, Madam Chairman.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
All right, any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, so we'll see how the rest of council feels about this as we soldier on in the noise ordinance. Okay, that concludes item number 6A. If there's nothing further to come before our committee, we stand adjourned.